Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. How are you, Elena?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Is that Reykjavik in the background?
I know. I will tell you, my husband made a lot of fun of me, but it is fixed now. Everything is fixed.
All good. Well, thank you for joining today. Just before we kick off, I know, obviously, you know Brendan, we've met before. My colleagues, Carter and Christy, are with ERM, Environmental Resources Management. So they're helping us do some stakeholder engagement and helping to facilitate the group meeting that we're having on Thursday. So just wanted to make sure you knew who they were as well.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Good morning.
Morning.
So, you know, we are putting together this group for Prince William. I mean, you're not any stranger to the growth that's going on in the county.
Yes.
We want to make sure that as we're coming into the county needing to, install new infrastructure to support the growth, that we are working with the right people. And the right organizations to be transparent, to talk about what the needs are, to answer questions, to, you know, show what our plans are before we take it broadly to the public, because we want to make sure that we're understanding what are we missing, you know, what questions can we anticipate so we can have all of our I's dotted and T's crossed as much as we can. Obviously, you know, never going to be 100% there, but working with folks like yourself, with other groups across the county to really have those discussions and make sure we're in a as good a place as we could be before we take them wholesale public.
Well, let's just, since we don't have a whole lot of time here, I think we have 30 minutes. So obviously Dominion Energy and the state is in a pickle. And Prince William is simply a microcosm of that pickle. And so I have some very specific questions that I would like you to address, all centered around data center growth.
Sure.
So, I mean, from my perspective, looking at Prince William is a small piece of what's coming. So, understanding that we don't have enough infrastructure or generation, I think my questions are going to be very pointed, which is, one, who is covering the cost of the new infrastructure that is obviously going to be dedicated to the data center industry? So can you just, let's start there.
Yeah. Yeah, for transmission infrastructure, new substations, new lines, it is paid for by Dominion customers across the Commonwealth, which includes the data center customers themselves, and if there's anything over and above any type of standard infrastructure that they want, extra circuits or anything like that, they pay for that. But it is paid for by customers across, Dominion customers across the country.
No, I understand and, that.
Yeah.
So can you describe why you're not applying the line extension policy when we know that it has been identified that data center growth like no other is fueling this demand?
When you say line extension policy, what are you referring to?
I'm referring to why the data centers are not covering their own transmission line extension cords, their own substations. Let's just start with the infrastructure first, and then we'll get to SMRs and nuclear and gas.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the data centers do pay, and they pay a substantial amount. based on the infrastructure that's needed, but it is passed along. They are one customer out of many customers.
When you say they pay, can you be specific? How do they pay different than every other rate payer for a transmission line?
They're part of that. They're part of every other rate payer
right.
that pays for transmission. So
that's no different.
Right.
I'm asking why there isn't a separate application for the block load user that is fueling this need. So can you describe, just give me a little bit more about why it's being, we're not the beneficiary of the transmission because they're driving the need. So maybe you could describe a little bit more why there isn't a different allocation for their extension cords.
Sure. So they do drive needs, but any new transmission infrastructure, whether it's new lines, whether it's substations, it does provide operational flexibility for the benefit of the communities as a whole. So yes, there is a customer-driven need, but new substations don't serve just one customer. We do have the ability to pull other distribution circuits from substations. Transmission lines provide that operational flexibility. So it does serve the benefit of communities as a whole. And, you know, I know that that's not one of those tangible things that
I'm sorry.
See.
I just need you to, let's just have an honest conversation here. If you were to remove the data center industry and what their demand is like no other customer, we wouldn't need the new substations or transmission lines. So I'm sort of looking at this from the microcosm of the Haymarket transmission line, which was the transmission line was, by the end of it, 95% for the Amazon Web Services campus. And then we could utilize 5%. But if you didn't have the load demand of the Amazon Web Services campus, you could not prove the need. And I believe that that same dynamic applies here. If you were to remove this massive data center dump in the state of Virginia, you wouldn't have a demand for all this infrastructure. So maybe let's look at it that way.
I mean, listen, I don't think that we're trying to, you know, hide the fact at all. I mean, the data center industry is huge, and it has absolutely accelerated need for infrastructure. I think that it would be disingenuous for us to say that infrastructure would 100% not be needed at all.
Well, an example of that, and this might segue to your next point, Elaine, is I think with the passage of the VCEA, which I know that we're going to talk about in a moment, what was the statistic there, Steve? We'd be replacing about 80% of the existing infrastructure just to meet that, you know, demands of that new technology.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right, Elena, but it's not all of it.
Well, of course it's not all of it. But, I mean, just like in the Haymarket transmission line case, like I said, we'll pay. I think the conversation between Chuck Penn and I finally got to, we'll pay our 3% and you guys pay your 97%. So I'm trying to have a discussion where I think the community deserves to understand what is being driven by one industry that is like mm-hmm. no other.
Sure.
And what is our need? So I know that we have this infrastructure need, and obviously we're going to be engaged in continuing to drive this point home. If you were to remove this one block load industry, we would not be facing this crisis. We wouldn't be looking at using diesel generators, right? As backup peak load times, right? I mean, let's just be honest, right? I mean, that's still an unknown. I still want to know who came up with that idea, and that seems to be sort of this ethereal, well, it just sort of appeared. But nobody knows why DEQ suddenly inserted itself in power delivery.
That's a great question, yeah. And that certainly wasn't Dominion-driven, and it certainly wasn't customer-driven either. I mean, I know you saw the comments. It was something that ultimately the industry said that they wouldn't utilize.
Right.
Because we kind of got what, right? Like, system-wide, yeah, you could do it. And then it was like, well, maybe it's just for Loudoun, and then they still said that we don't really need it.
So I guess my... So obviously, I mean, you know, that's the perspective that I'm coming from here. So when we talk about the infrastructure that's required for Prince William, it is being driven by one industry, and it's data center. So yeah, I guess my...
Elena, I mean, again, you know, we're
here to
work with you. I mean, I think, and you know, we have worked with the county, I mean, with the digital gateway and all of that. We gave them our talking points that infrastructure would be needed too. So, you know, I think we're not trying to say that it's not the data center industry, right?
I understand. So I, mean, so you know, I guess that's where, but I mean, that's where, Steve, from my perspective, I feel like I'm stuck in Groundhog Day. Where 8 years later, almost 9 years later, actually, we're saying we're being asked to sacrifice our property, our homes, our cultural and natural resources, and we get the privilege of paying for it. So nothing has changed. The problem has only gotten worse. So one of my concerns also, we've established that we pay for their infrastructure. We pay for their transmission. We pay for their substations. You remove that customer, you don't have the need for, at least to this scale, this kind of transmission infrastructure. So I'm curious about the generation now. So, and one of my biggest concerns is this sort of throwing around of SMRs. So now you have people who are going to be living next to little mini nuclear reactors, which I know from the article in the Virginia Mercury are not commercialized. What does that mean when you say the SMRs are not commercialized? I need to understand what that means. That means Dominion has to...
I think it's talking about how the usage is predominantly for the military at this point. Because remember, I mean, you go down to like Norfolk Roads, for example, there's folks that have been living around these small modular reactors now for decades because they're in submarines, ships, all that sort of stuff. And that technology, I mean, granted, from a commercial perspective, yes, it's something that we mention and industry's messaging, mentioning. It's a component of that IRP, which is obviously just a plan to have a couple plans. But I think, Steve, that we're what, a decade out from
I was just going to say
utilization?
It's about 10 years. They're talking mid-2030s before I think they actually see the, I'll just say mass commercialization. I don't know if that's the right term for it, but, you know, more commercialized usage of these mini reactors.
Okay, so SMRs a decade out.
Yep. And one of the other interesting things, and again, industry perspective, maybe not so much Dominion, obviously, we like to, you know, have these customers, but that industry, at least one of them told me that they're even exploring whether or not they can put that on their own property at this point, because they'd have the power, there'd be the limited transmission run, you're not going through, you know, a larger regulatory process, you're not upsetting residents, things like that. So
I don't know. You might be upsetting some residents thinking about a small nuclear reactor next to their homes.
Yeah, yeah. Not everyone's going to love it, but yeah.
Okay, so
the point I'm making is they're trying to think big about it, right?
Right. As opposed to them shrinking and us deleting our data, we're just going to continue to grow until there's not a green space left. I get it. Okay, so then that's a decade out. Then until that time of a decade out, what are we talking? And then we're talking about, I mean, when I hear nuclear reactors, I'm thinking more the Lake Anna type of reactor. But even that's going to, how long is that going to take? I mean,
no, it wouldn't be that large. The footprint is much smaller than Lake Anna, and you're talking about a fraction of the production. I mean, as opposed to, just for the sake of round numbers, 1,500 megawatts, you're talking like 100 megawatts.
100 megawatts for a
small modular reactor.
Okay. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I've transitioned from SMR to now.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I mean, I know people thought it was a joke when I dragged down the 40 pounds of coal to Anne, but
I was there that night.
but it was the truth. I mean, so what are we relying on right now? They are continuing to build, and I understand that you guys are caught. You are caught in a situation where you have local, has local government been so powerful that they are approving development, which is impacting the entire state. So I get that you guys are caught. I mean, normally I would make you out to be, you know, the big evil overlord. But in this particular case, you're not. Because if they approve the data center development, at some point you have to supply the power. My role is to protect my neighbors, my community, and to be perfectly honest, on some level now it feels like my state. So, sure. And not just me, I mean, a bunch of people. So right now we are relying on coal and gas because we also know, and this has been driving me crazy, how many acres do you need of green space for 1 megawatt of solar power?
Roughly 8 to 10.
8 to 10. So if you have 8 to 10 acres, and that's 1 megawatt, and we know 1 200,000 square foot building is around 65 megawatts. I mean, this is catastrophic. None of this is sustainable. Everybody here who has a family and looks at the future goes, this is insanity. You're not going to supply it with solar, but in the quest to pretend like we can, you're going to destroy the rest of the green space. So knowing that solar power is not intended for this kind of use, what is going to power this industry for the next 10 years?
So what we're looking at right now, we're about 30 some odd percent nuclear. Our natural gas is about 50% of what we do. Coal is less than 10, and then you've got renewables making up the balance of that generation equation. As we're looking out to 2036, you know, obviously some of the stuff we're doing is dependent on some of the technological advancements that we talked about, whether that's through, you know, shrinking the footprint for renewable energy, whether it's small modular reactors, but we are looking at being over 50% renewable, 32% nuclear, so changing somewhat. We just did the relicensing for...
Hold on, Brandon. You're saying that... Yeah. Brendan, you're saying that we're going to be 50% renewable solar and wind for what's coming down the pike for data center development?
That's the goal, yeah. And again,
No. I'm not talking goal. I'm so tired of, like, using words for word salad. We know that's not possible.
I mean, all we have is a plan right now, right? I mean, I don't have my crystal ball for 2036, 2040, but that is.
But you look at
what we're looking to do.
You look at. I mean, even your acknowledgement is that you're going to have to rely on coal and gas. There's no way. You're going to get to renewables. I don't want to hear your plan. Tell me how we get, in the context of this kind of bulk load user that is going everywhere in the state of Virginia, how you're going to use solar and wind to even make a dent.
The evolving nature of the industry, and I don't think, you know, if it was 10, 15, 20 years ago, you know, the rapid growth of this industry. I mean, maybe some could have predicted, right? But maybe not. And, you know, it is goals. I mean, we have to have goals to plan for the future, but those goals will evolve. It doesn't mean, and listen.
I'm going to say what my husband would say, right? Wish in one hand and you know what in the other. I mean, at some point, I mean, it's we understand that I just want to have, we have a significant challenge in front of us. And to pretend like solar in any way, as you sacrifice green space and you look at the number of solar panels that is required for 1 megawatt, it is not going to happen.
Right. But that is part of a balanced portfolio, which is what we strive to do. That's solar, that's wind, that's natural gas. It's not so much coal anymore. It's nuclear for sure.
How long will nuclear take? How long will new nuclear energy take?
Again, I think we're looking at that 10-year time frame. It's got to be studied. I mean, to your point, we don't want to put untested technology in anybody's
backyard. So 10 years. So right now we have supervisors in a dozen localities approving data center development, pretending as though green energy is going to in any way power this industry. And in the meantime, you have reports coming out and we are experiencing what look like violations coming down the pike. Let's have an honest conversation. How are we going to power from now until year 9? What are gigawatts of power, not megawatts? So that's what I'm asking. How are you generating gigawatts?
Yeah, and that's what the IRP just dealt with. I mean, it's going to have to continue to be the current generation sources. There is going to have to be purchasing of power.
Where are you purchasing
to some degree?
Okay, so where though? You're going to go to Ohio? They're experiencing data center development. If you look at their power generation, they are also concerned. Yeah. Georgia, they just spent $30 billion on 2 new nuclear reactors that I think give them a max of, and I'm being generous, 3 gigawatts. And you look at, you know who's down in Georgia? QTS. So we're just playing this shell game. So where are you buying power from?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the exact answer on where right now, but it's all part of the equation that we're charged with figuring out, right? I mean, let's figure it out honestly together.
This telling people
and that's what we're trying to do, right? That's what we're trying to do.
Which is going to have to be more coal.
I mean, I don't know that it's going to be more coal. I didn't see or read any plans that there's plans to develop more coal generation. I think that if it's a matter of taking the current coal generation, which, as Brendan mentioned, is what, less than 10%, but, you know, slowing down the decommissioning of that, which, again, understand that, you know, that might not be what, you know, folks had anticipated, but we also have to be realistic that, you know, as you just said, we have to figure it out too.
We've been trying to be
open about that with localities. I mean, we've met with localities across the state when they say, you know, well, we're interested in data centers. What does that mean? We're taking the same tone that we've taken with Prince William.
Well, but it took me prodding Greg to go up to the podium and say, be crystal clear. Stop saying, like, Field of Dreams. Right. If you build it, we will come. You know, there needs to be a very pointed discussion. having, you know, getting to a point where we're suggesting that the data centers rely on diesel generators during peak load times is not a solution. And we all understand why part of it failed was we don't have a demand response program. And to be perfectly honest, you know, the data center industry is they're finally getting the pushback that they deserve. And I just want to make sure that when you guys talk about, you know, wind and solar, no, not in the context of data center development. I mean,
yeah, no.
So just.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And listen, Elena, I've been in meetings with other folks where they said, well, why can't you just power everything with solar? You know, why can't data centers just put solar on the roof, right? We don't hide the fact. We're not telling people, yeah, that would be great. I mean, it would be great if that could happen, right? But we're not hiding the fact that it's not possible at this point. Again, predicting the future, I mean, technology will evolve.
By the time technology evolves to deal with the issue that we're dealing with, the data center development, the earth is going to be on fire. I mean, literally, I look out my window and I see this gorgeous, like, on fire sun in the morning, and I'm like, oh, that's because Canada's on fire. I mean, I have been saying nuclear.
We hear you.
I've been saying for the last probably 5 years, the only way through this is nuclear. And that should have been the acknowledgement 5 years ago. If I could see it, and I'm a middle school counselor by training, you all should have seen it too. I mean, there was no way. Everybody wanted to play this game of, and by the way, we have a ground-mounted solar panel. We are 100%, I mean, although the data center industry is sucking all our solar we put into the grid, technically, we are completely sustainable here. I support that. But I'm also realistic. So from my perspective, you've heard, you know, the way I'm looking at this problem. I believe that the data center industry should be paying. They should stop foisting their significant power, insatiable appetite on all of us. Because if they had to pay for their power, you bet that they would innovate. And that should be something that Dominion Energy starts advocating for also. You all should have accepted the line extension policy way back when. And I'll tell you, we wouldn't be in this mess. Because then they would have had 7 years to innovate.
Can I jump in here quickly? I want to be respectful of everyone's time. We have about 3 minutes left, and we haven't really had an opportunity to talk about what's to come on Thursday. I think we need to understand kind of what that meeting's going to be about to see if you're interested in even participating. Can we do that in the last few minutes?
Sure.
Okay. So on Thursday, we've established, and we as the Dominion team established this Prince William Engagement Group, and it really represents diverse perspectives across Prince William County, faith-based, environmental, business. We have, emergency responders, I think, are social organizations. Really, it is diverse among age, race, ethnicity, perspective, background. And the purpose of bringing all these folks together is to understand their local knowledge, to tap into that local knowledge, to help solve the problem. We understand the data centers are here. But the problem is, how do you service them? Because Dominion's required, they're obligated to serve. What do we know locally that may be a constraint, that may be an opportunity? What can we leverage locally to help solve this problem? And they don't want to do it in a vacuum. They want all of this local knowledge pulled together. So we've established this group with the purpose of everyone coming with an open mind, understanding that we have about 2 hours at this month to really set the groundwork so everyone understands where we are. You have a much higher level of understanding of electric transmission and solutions than what some of the folks will coming in on Thursday. So what may seem elementary to you on Thursday is really important to help everyone come together at a very ground level understanding of the overall problem, some possible solutions, and how do you get to some place that, you know, gives them an opportunity to route these transmission lines that they're required to serve. So, you know, we are looking for folks to, you know, be open and candid, respectful of one another, and really with the ultimate goal of kind of helping them figure it out. And this is one of what's coming up over a number of meetings. This isn't just going to be a 2-hour meeting. It's going to be a series of meetings. And really, it's just one piece of engagement. Because I think Steve mentioned at the top that, you know, we're establishing this group, but we're also, there's other opportunities. There'll be open houses. There'll be other opportunities for folks to weigh in over the course of the next, I don't know, 6, 12 months, whatever it happens to be.
So, Christy, I appreciate that. Thank you for giving me the overview. I think what's important for that meeting, so for Prince William County residents, we've been to plenty of engagement meetings and open houses. And what we find is that they're an opportunity to just have people in power tell us what they're going to be doing. And so as far as transmission, what I'm saying is, as you present this meeting, it should be honest. It should be that this is new infrastructure that is primarily based on this demand of the data center industry. And that we, as a community, it's very basic principle. We're not going to want to sacrifice our homes, our natural resources, our cultural resources, our history for one bulk load user. And so
we will have representatives there to speak to all of the things you just mentioned. You know, there will be perspectives around the table from the cultural and historical side, environmental folks, you know, developers, like commercial development organizations. It really needs to be a balanced group so that we can hear from all perspectives.
But nobody's going to want to sacrifice the small businesses. They were engaged in the Haymarket transmission line fight. It took 4 years to have an appropriate resolution, which was to bury it through homes, through communities and small businesses. That's going to be the perspective that I believe we're going to be taking. And certainly one that I think is pretty easy to engage the community on, is that we're not going to want to sacrifice, and then we have to pay for it. So
listen, and that's fair. That's fair. You know, you're right. That's a fair point to bring up. And that's why part of this group, we're going to be looking at routing. Right, we're going to be looking at planning. We're going to be looking at maps at a high level at this meeting, but for future meetings in more detail. And that's where we need to ask questions of you all. What are we looking at things the right way? What are we missing? Help us. Help us look at this in a different perspective. Help us figure this out. I don't think the goal, by any mean, and I'll say this up front on Thursday, we're not there to change minds. We're not there. Elena, we're not going to change your mind. We're not there to say, hurrah, data center industry, you know, we love it. You know, this is what we wanted. To your point, we are in the middle, right?
You haven't even given Elena the good news yet.
Yeah. Oh, the data center industries are going to start paying for their own infrastructure?
No, problem solved. Is a lot of upgrades to existing facilities, and in terms of new connections, it's in Innovation Park. So I know we don't want to give the county too much credit, but you know what you did a couple of years ago in pushing for that opportunity district is at least keeping a lot of this type of development in quote unquote the right place.
Until you start looking at the...
We're not coming through Mountain Road. We're not, you know, on Bull Run Mountain.
But, you know, my perspective is I don't think it should come through anybody's neighborhood anymore. I mean, I'm a NIMBY and I'm a NOTE, which is not over there either. And if it's going to be in any of those places, it should be buried. Like, if you were going to come across my property, I wouldn't like it until we resolve this issue with the data centers. But if you buried it, I would at least be, okay, I've only been, you know, partially, you know, taken advantage of. And Christy, I don't mean to seem harsh or belligerent. It's just, this was a fight near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
And it's still taking my life from my family. I mean, it's overwhelming. And I know that it doesn't just impact me. So I'm very passionate. I think it is wrong that an industry that's making billions of dollars isn't paying truly their fair share. So I totally get you guys are in the middle. I just, I'm glad that the Opportunity Zone has worked, but you and I both know, I mean, I don't know if everybody knows here. I don't know if Christy and Carter know, but there's going to be a transmission line coming for Cat Harpin and 55. I know that. And I think they're woefully short substations. I'm not even sure where they're going to get a second substation. So that's hanging over, you know, my head as well. So I just, let's all be proactive and as honest and upfront as possible so that nobody is surprised. Because then
And that's what we're trying to be. That's what we're trying to be. Listen, hold me to it. I mean, like I said, on Thursday, I'm going to stand up there and I'm going to say, yes, the data center industry is a large driver of it, but let's help us control what we can try to control, right? We cannot control the county approving rezoning, approving site plans, things like that. We can talk with the county and tell them what's going to be needed, but that's what we can do.
Look, if you can just run it through Ann Wheeler's property and only her property, I would be perfectly happy because she told me during the Amazon transmission line fight, she wouldn't mind if a transmission line went across her property. So I figure let's, you know, okay. So we're all, I mean, just, I think it's important to be honest and, not sugarcoat and understand where everybody's coming from so that there aren't any surprises. So I'll be there Thursday. I appreciate everyone's time and honesty, and I'll make sure that I hold you to it, Steve.
That's fine, Elena. Thank you.
All right, you guys have a good day.
All right, see you, Elena.
All right, bye.